dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert A. Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I can't wait to get into this broadcast today. I'm so excited to be called a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a generation that needs this news more than any news that they need. Amen. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Dottie Rambo wrote a wonderful song called "The World Needs Some Good News Bad." Well, we have good news to bring. The old songwriter said, and that is why we sing, our joy with you we'll share. For I plan to take a trip on the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. We're looking for the soon return of Jesus Christ because all the conditions that the Bible said would be in place just before His coming are actually in place right now. Jesus could come. I'm going to make this statement early on today. Jesus Christ could come today and not do an injustice to any prophetic scripture concerning that should be fulfilled concerning His coming. He could come in the immediate sense before this broadcast is over, before this day is through, before the sun sets today. Jesus Christ could return. So we're just living in a wonderful anticipation of great good to come because Jesus is in fact coming back to this earth. We've got a great subject. I said I couldn't wait to get into it, and I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the first chapter of the book of Revelation. We're going to be talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, seeing Jesus as you have never seen Him before. And this is our third in this series, and we pray that it's being a blessing to you. We're not going into great depth in this study, but we are touching the highlights of it that you might be able to get a better understanding of Jesus as He will be when we see Him again and the Christ that is coming back to this earth when He comes. Seeing Jesus as you've never seen Him before. Revelation chapter 1, we're going to read verse 10 through verse 18 in just a moment. We want to thank all of you who have been visiting our website since I have been prompted by our media minister that puts all of this together for us and puts the website together for us. I have been prompted in wisdom to invite people to come to our website. We've kind of neglected that, but we'd like to give you our website homepage. You can find out our statement of faith. You can download sermons. You can download these broadcasts. Let's Talk About Jesus. If they will be a blessing to you in some way, you're welcome to download anything. Nothing there is copyrighted. If you're a minister and you find something of value to interject into a Sunday sermon, feel free to do so. We just want to share the Word of God, amen, and get the message of hope to a world that is sinking deeper into hopelessness and helplessness. We want to bring the good news and be part of that process, so that's what we're on the air for. Let me give you our website. Just type in on Google or a very good search engine, THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God, and that's the simplest way to do it. Just the letters, THCOG, and there'll be another Church of God come up, another Holy Church of God somewhere else, but mine will have the name Robert A. Venable by it. I've been pastor of the Holy Church of God Incorporated here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates, for over 35 years. Praise God. Amen. We've been an affiliate in good standing. We answer to and account to Independent Assemblies of God International. They are our covering, a fellowship of independent ministries that is worldwide. And we've been glad to be in good standing with them since 1974. And so we maintain that standing for covering and accountability. And of course, we're accountable to God and to everyone who listens for the biblical accuracy of these broadcasts and for our personal lives that we endeavor to live according to the Word of God. I have been married for 46 years. We just celebrated that great anniversary, May the 18th. And we're headed for 47 by the help and grace grace of God, I still am in deeply in love with my wife and deeply in love with Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we're just want you to know something about us. We've come into this gospel realm to do a work for Jesus Christ. We've come to live for Him, to serve Him throughout all of our earthly days. And what a privilege it is to be on the air right here on WMAF. As this broadcast goes to all of you in North Florida in particular, this is your hometown station. We hope we can become a hometown broadcast as we have joined the broadcast family of WMAF and other ministries, live broadcasts from church services right there in Madison. If you're not a church goer, but you're listening to this broadcast, there's some good churches right there in Madison. You ought to just show up Sunday, amen, and participate in the worship of God and hear the good word of God that comes forth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We love to promote His church, which transcends all the denominational barriers and encompasses every person that has trusted Christ as Lord and personal Savior. Praise God. So we're thankful for every church there in the Madison area, and we're thankful for you that listen by computer in other states and other countries. We've had people downloading from our website since we've been announcing our website in the United Kingdom. Mother's Day, there was over 20 downloads in the UK, and six of them were Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast, and we're very, very grateful for the fact that people are listening and hearing this broadcast in other nations, and that WMAF is growing in its influence as a radio station, a wonderful family-friendly radio station. Praise God. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's move very quickly into Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through 18. Seeing Jesus as you have never seen Him before. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks or lampstands, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell down his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. John, friend of mine, was seeing Jesus as he had never seen him before. In our previous broadcast, we talked about the fact that John saw someone like the Son of Man. This is a reference to the description that the prophet Daniel gave the coming Messiah 800 years before. Son of Man means Jesus is a human being, as God intended human beings to be when He created them. I like to refer to Him as the second Adam, the one that didn't fall, the one that never sinned, the one that did not bring the curse but brought the blessing. This description tells us that even though we're going to see Jesus differently than we've ever seen Him before, we're going to see His godness. He's still the man Jesus. That means that He is still our high priest, and He still identifies with us because He was tempted like we are, and yet without sin. So He is still human as well as God, so He can bridge the gap between God and man as our intercessor. Amen. He saw him clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, dressed in a robe reaching to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. and it symbolized this wonderful priestly, kingly ministry of Jesus Christ. He's our judge, our intercessor, our king, our advocate, our Lord, and our Savior. He's our all and all. His head and hair were white like wool, white as snow. This means that Jesus, since he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, and he's taken on the very characteristics of deity, of full deity, the ever-living one, God the Almighty. He's now the Ancient of Days, as Daniel calls him in Daniel 7. God Almighty. Jesus has been given the authority to walk among the churches and judge them according to his purity and his righteousness and his wisdom as very God. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet as unto fine brass as it burned in an oven. Blazing fire, he's filled with righteous indignation against sin. He never overlooks sin. He deals with it judgmentally, but he deals with it redemptively at the same time. He wants to seek and to save that which is lost. He cannot overlook our sins, but he does want to forgive our sins. Oh, that's why I love the message of repentance, friend, because we serve a God that is so willing to pardon if we will bow before him and confess our sins. The Bible said in John's Gospel, the Epistle of John, rather, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those eyes are also piercing because the God we serve is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And he uses his word to show us what he already knows about us, to bring it to light. Don't ever sit in a seat and squirm if something being preached is hitting you. Amen. As if God read your mail that week. Honey, I want you to know, if God reveals something in our life that we need to repent of and get right with him, it's because of his great love for us. He doesn't want Satan getting an inroad into our life. He doesn't want us to lose his covering, covenant blessings upon our life. Oh, I am so open to the message of repentance. I don't know why there's such a negative spin upon it, because repentance brings restoration of fellowship with God, and restoration of fellowship with God brings all his blessings upon our life. And I don't know about you, but I want to be under that covenant covering of God. Amen. I want to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty's wings. Praise God. In these troubled times, I can't afford to be disenfranchised from my covenant King. I want to be as close to him as I can possibly get. And it requires from time to time that I bow before him and fess up and get that heart cleansing work done that only the Word of God can do when we respond to it in faith and in humility. Praise God. I'm glad that this God who knows me inside out, who sees not only what I do, but the underlying ulterior motives and why I do it, he knows the intent of my heart. He knows what I'm doing on the air right now. He knows what I'm really trying to achieve here today. He knows if it's self-serving or if it's self-sacrificing. He knows whether or not I'm trying to do something for my glory or whether indeed I'm doing it for his glory. I'm telling you today, I'm not afraid of his scrutiny, because when he brings things to the surface in my life, I know how to deal with it, and that is to go before him, bow before him. You know, David, that man after God's own heart, he certainly wasn't a perfect man. But when God brought to his attention his sins and his faults and his failures, he was very quick to bow honestly and transparently before God and cry out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit." That's part of all of our Christian experience. It's not getting to the place of sinless perfection that we never have to repent, but it's getting that perfect heart attitude that says, whenever I falter, I will be very quick to repent before God and to apologize to others. Amen. If I've harmed or hurt anyone in any way. That is real, genuine Christianity. We serve a good God who is ready to pardon, friend, today. So don't be afraid of the eyes that penetrate, that look into the heart. Just make sure that in your heart there is an intent to obey Him and not a rebel heart. God will work with those intentions, and He will give us the strength, the grace, the help that we do not have within ourselves to follow Him and obey Him. I've been following the Lord all of these years, and there have been many times through tears I have knelt before Him and asked Him to forgive me for sins of commission or omission, for speaking in anger when I should have represented Him in gentleness. And I'm deeply, deeply sorry for the times that I didn't represent Him as I should. But God has cleansed my heart time and time again. And He will cleanse your heart today. I'm just talking heart to heart to you. I don't want you to be afraid of these piercing eyes of Jesus that look into the heart. Just present to Him a sincere heart. I didn't say a sinless heart. I said a sincere heart. Sin doesn't have dominion over us. We shouldn't be enslaved by sin anymore. But at our best, we have a weakness called the flesh. And because of that weakness, there are times that we must go before God in deep contrition and repentance. If we will do that, He will cleanse our hearts time and time again, raise us up and establish us. Praise God. Amen. What a wonderful high priest we have who knows everything about us and yet loves us and invites us to the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy to help us in the time of any need. Amen. I am so glad to know that good God. I can make it because of the throne of grace today. Praise the Lord. So not only is His eyes as a burning fire, but His feet are as fine brass. The feet are a person's foundation. Jesus' feet are glowing from being heated in a furnace. Heating bronze always proves its purity. In other words, the foundation of who Jesus is the purity of His righteousness. Jesus achieved purity as a human being. You haven't, nor will you ever achieve perfect purity. And the foundation of what Jesus gives sinful people is an exchange of our impure, sinful lives for His purity. In fact, Jesus' purity is the only thing that enables us to stand in the presence of a pure and holy God throughout all eternity. Amen. He is a righteous judge. And those legs of heated bronze, white hot and glowing as in a furnace, is the foundation for His righteousness. Tested by fire, there is no impurity in Him. He has the right, therefore, to be our judge, and He has also the desire to be our advocate. It's incredible that the one who has every right to judge us didn't come to this earth to judge the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But friend, as we said last week, we will face Him as our judge, with all of the rights and prerogatives of judgment, or we will face Him as He wants us to face Him, as our Savior, advocate, and friend. I need, when I draw my last breath, I need this mighty Savior interceding for me to the Father, pleading the blood of His own sacrifice and the scars in His own body. Thank God for this great judge and this great advocate that we have with the Father, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is called the righteous judge in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Henceforth it says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love His appearing. I think one of the real acid tests of are you truly saved and ready to face Christ either in eternity is whether or not you would love His appearing. Would you be afraid to look into the eyes of Him that can look into the heart of you? Amen. I know that He knows my heart, and I cannot present to Him a perfectly, absolutely pure, unsullied, unsinful heart. But I can be presented unto Him in such a way that God can accept me through the precious shed blood of that eternal sacrifice at the cross. Amen. Friend, you can't present yourself, nor can I, in that condition before the holiness of God Almighty. But we can be presented through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so glad today, amen, to still be one of those old school preachers who preaches Jesus and Him crucified as the centerpiece of the gospel, knowing that it is through His sacrifice that we can approach a holy God, that we can live in the holy city, the New Jerusalem, forever and forever. Praise the Lord. Folks, I want you to know today that this mighty judge of the universe, who all of us will answer to, the Bible said Christ is going to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. Amen. And yet, we cannot fear the final judgment, and we cannot fear the piercing eyes of an all-knowing God, knowing that when He sees the blood, He will pass over us if we have repented of our sin and accepted Jesus as our Savior. We do that in Holy Communion in Christian communities all over the world. And that is, we declare that through His broken body and His shed blood, we have redemption full and free. Hallelujah. We celebrate an extension of that Jewish Passover, which was a type of Jesus. The Bible said Jesus Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And we take in token what that meal represented. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Praise God. And I'm telling you, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of the benefits of His shed blood are applied to your life. You may say today, preacher, how can I be forgiven? You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the things that I've done that I can never undo. You don't know the dark recesses of my heart. You don't know the depravity of my sin. No, I do not. But I know one who does. I know that God does, and I believe that you know that too. We read last week, there's nothing hid from the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. And yet in grace and love, for God so loved this world and everyone in it, knowing all that He knows about everyone in it, He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't just send Him to be a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. He sent Him to grow into full manhood, that He might die upon the cross, and that He might take the punishment for our sins. It's not that our sins go unpunished. God can't be a just judge and not punish sin. He wouldn't be holy if He did that, and He is holy eternally. He has to judge sin. He has righteous indignation, fiery eyes that represent judgment to come and judgment that is imminent. But He judged our sin in His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He judged my sin. He judged your sin in His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. What humbles me today, what excites me today, what emboldens me today, what melts me and makes me today, is that He would do that in my behalf, knowing that my sins have been judged in Him. Literally, literally, every sin that I ever committed was punished in Christ while He was hanging on the cross. Friend, whether you accept Him as your Savior or not, your sins have been judged in Him. The price has been paid for your redemption in full. Whether or not you come out of the prison house of the enemy or not, you have been given the opportunity because Jesus has paid your sin debt in full. You can't be forgiven unless you accept this payment and you receive Christ as your Savior and repent of your sin. But If you do, you can walk out of that prison. Your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, how could God forgive me? Because He's judged your sin in His Son. Ah, friend, that ought to melt your heart today. Ought to cause you to love Him with a passionate heart and to give Him the rest of your life in service and honor and glory by following Him and discovering His will for your life from this day forward. This could be the most transforming day in all of your life. Amen. Because the past will be past. The future will be bright. Hallelujah. You can have His peace and His joy and achieve His purpose while upon this earth and live in His eternal purpose in His holy city forever. And look into the same eyes that are so judgmental to so many of us and see the goodness and the grace of Almighty God and the love of God that lasts forever. Ah, friend, I'm not afraid of His feet of brass and His legs of brass. I'm not afraid of His piercing eyes. The same fire that is a terror to the fallen world is a comfort to all those who love Him and serve Him. We warm ourselves by that holy fire every Sunday morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the purifying fire of God. They baptized them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our sins have been judged in Jesus. That is the good news of the gospel. You know, when I read this, I don't want people to be terrified in the sense of drawing away from God. I want them to understand that God loves you and He wants to forgive you. He wants to save you today. But He can't do it unless you humble yourself. Become as a little child and bow before Him and confess your sins. Repent and receive Jesus as your Savior. And all of that fear and all of that dread of eternity and dread of eternity without God and facing Him as your judge, all of that will be wiped away, washed away in the cleansing flood of the blood of Jesus today. Ah, friend, what a privilege it is to be saved today. If you're a Christian listening to this broadcast, what an honor it is to be part of the blood-bought, blood-washed church of Jesus Christ today. Praise the Lord. Oh, you know, our time is just running, just about to run out on us today. And I just don't feel like we're even getting into the next stage that we wanted to take this. But I believe we're obeying the Spirit of God today. We're continuing to talk about this judge of the universe who is also our advocate, our great high priest who intercedes for us, our great and gracious Savior. And today I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, that you would open your heart. Once again, I invite you to open your heart to Him. Repent of your sins. Ask Him to come into your heart. Don't make any promises to Him that you know you can't keep. Just let Him see that you are ready to do an about-face in your life. That you're ready to make a 180-degree turn. To turn from darkness to light. To turn from Satan to Christ and to God. To turn from sin to righteousness. And I guarantee you, if you'll do that, He will come right where you are right now. He will save you, forgive you, cleanse you. He will come in to abide with you. And the strength you need, you will find from His indwelling presence to live for Him and to serve Him. Right now, if you look within, you won't find that strength. Many people have said, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite, preacher. I'm not going to even attempt this unless I know that I can follow through. And every time you look in, you're going to think you can't until you invite Him within and you look in and you see Jesus indwelling you, giving you the grace, the strength, the power that you need to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. To live for Him and to serve Him till He comes. Praise God. Well, our time is gone. We pray you'll come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.